When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another show to the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. It's the wide world of sports. Everything and anything's happening, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1, we're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Bosch. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe Pitcher Free Throws, because they're free. Sode 327 coming hot at you guys in Sode 326. And I'm joined on this one, as per usual, APU, by Alex Tossman, the Rock Disopolis, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And a lot's going on. We are seeing a run in basketball unlike, this could be one of the craziest runs by a single player in the regular season, at least, that I've seen in any sport ever. By Steph Curry, who's hitting just not even just hitting threes, hitting like 10 threes a game. He's under 200, I believe, away from Ray Allen. And I think they have like 15 games left. They've had 14 games left. He's not going to get it this year, but that record is considered smoked, as if you didn't realize already. Ray Allen, all-time leader in three-point field goals made. Steph right behind him at the two spot, past Reggie already this season. This is one of the most impressive streaks. Toss, you and I were talking on the couch. You're unimpressed with the Warriors roster. Steph Curry came out and said that he believes he should be the MVP, which honestly is kind of uncharacteristic of Steph, of to be like, it's my time, my turn. My name should be called. I should get my third MVP award. He's usually kind of a more, like, you know, lax in that team first. Let's win the games. Not about the Steph Curry show. So
I mean, over the course of like
say that.
2.5 weeks, he's increased his points per game by 2 whole points.
He might win the scoring title.
He's .1
behind
away.
Yeah, and they play tonight, right, as we speak, actually, on the show. Recording this, guys, on Wednesday. Quick update for the charity. For any new listeners, recording on Wednesday, releasing on Thursday. Welcome to TCS. But you can bet on Steph Curry's odds to win MVP at one of my 15 top 20 favorite websites. I think it's in Nick's top 25. Toss, though, it's in your top 10. It's really getting up there. And what is it?
Yeah, for the purposes of the next 2 minutes, it's number one. We're brought to you by betonline.ag, the number one online sports book in the world. They've got the 24/7 online casino. Nick's a fan of the blackjack. He always doubles down on, I don't know, 18. What do you double down on, Nick? What's
18.
Your...
You double down on 11s.
11s, 10s,
no, I know, but
9s.
Like if you're a real 9s. Savage, you double down on 18 because you know that 3 is coming.
Yeah, that's... Remind me to never play blackjack with Toss.
No, I've actually had some success in the Vegas casinos when I've been there.
Really?
I did quite well.
Doubling down on 18?
I never doubled down on 18, but...
Okay, good.
Maybe if we were on the $1 minimum bet tables, maybe I would do it there. But yeah, go to betonline.ag. You'll get your you'll get a half off on your first deposit. The welcome bonus. They love it there. Betonline.ag, the place to put your bets in. All right, let's talk about Steph.
Yeah.
Nick, do you know what the odds are for Steph to win MVP?
Me? No, I don't. I think we looked the other day, and I think it was plus like 1,200 or something, right?
You know what? I don't even think we mentioned him the other day. Because
we didn't
even
put him on our top five list last week.
Yeah, that we put out on IG.
We skimped him. People were up in arms about him, too. And I honestly, rightfully so. The dude is... he's vaulted Dame. He's vaulted JoJo, and Harden's now out of the mix. Luka and Giannis are being overlooked because I think everyone's kind of used. It's like the Russell Westbrook thing. Not that Giannis is like, I know Russell Westbrook is not as, you know, efficient. Obviously, turnovers, shooting percentage, all that stuff. But with Giannis, I think people are used to what he does.
Wait, one. He's
I got your updated odds, by the way. Oh, as a 420. As a 420, Steph is plus 2,400. Jokic is the favorite as minus 375.
Minus?
So that's increased. Increased from last time because I think he was around minus 200 or something like that.
He was minus 200 last time we talked, yeah.
Oh, because you know what, though?
And JoJo is plus 338.
In that game that Steph had where him and Tatum were dueling, I think it was the same night that Jokic had like 47, like 15 and 9. Something crazy like that.
In overtime where
they
won?
Yeah, against the Grizzlies, was it? Yeah, just has, like, he's still doing it, though. That's the issue with Steph. Steph's had this amazing hot streak, and it's so, again, beautiful to watch. Like, he's hitting some shots that are just like, what is it? Is this basketball or Cirque du Soleil? You know? And Jokic, though, time and time again, though, every game, he is the catalyst for that team. And they have no Jamal Murray. They're going to get the 4 seed, even with AD coming back to the Lakers. And they're a dangerous team. I mean, Aaron Gordon came out and said, this is the easiest basketball he's played. That quote really stuck with me. And it is solely because they have a great coach in place. They have a really deep team, I think. But I think it's solely because of Jokic.
He's only played on two teams, and one team was the Orlando Magic.
Well, yeah. Then, and the other team was for – he was in college, he played for Arizona. And we all know how I feel about that head coach. But I think it's a testament to Jokic. But there's been good guys that have come in. Look, Vooch was there. There's been good guy Fournier. There's good guys in Orlando. They've made the playoffs with him there. You're a big Scott Clifford guy. I think, though, with Jokic – he just is so good at creating for his teams. And you kind of mentioned as well, Toss, and you wanted to discuss, another guy that's great at creating for his team is Chris Paul, who's climbing up the assist board. He's past Magic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Chris Paul nor... When you take in the considerations of past MVPs, how we vote for the NBA MVP, storylines are always a factor. But so is overall ranking of your team. And the Nuggets are higher than the Warriors. The Warriors in the traditional NBA playoff setting would not make the playoffs right now.
The highest seed that anybody's ever had for an MVP, if I'm correct, is Westbrook. They were a 7 seed.
A 7 seed?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that, in my opinion, this season is more impressive than that so far. Steph has now beaten Kobe's record for 30-plus point games in a row, which is really, really incredible. I don't think he's going to stop. I think he's going to win the scoring title, like you said. I don't know if they're going to get to the 8th seed. It would be huge if they did, because then all they'd have to do is beat the Grizzlies one time. I definitely think in a 2-game series where the Grizzlies have to just win one game,
they have no chance
that the Warriors can win 2 games in a row.
If it's Grizzlies Warrior, I am not drinking. I'm not drinking the Grizzlies.
Didn't I say the Warriors are going to?
You say
make
it time
the
and time again. The Grizzlies are not doing anything. Look,
I love the season Jaws having that. Jaws so much fun to watch.
They're fun. They're great. Slow mo Kyle. He is so unbelievably slow. It's frightening. Nick's favorite player, Kyle Anderson.
What do you think his 40 time would be?
You know what? You guys know I'm overconfident. I don't think it's me being overconfident. I have no sweat on him.
That you could beat Kyle Anderson in a 40?
The guy's practically needs to walk around the court.
Yeah, but he's got, what is he, like 6'9", though?
Yeah, you know what that'll say about him? Such a good passer. Holy heck. He is a good passer. He really knows how to move the ball.
Kind of just what happens when you play for the San Antonio Spurs. You just become a good passer. Yeah. But yeah, I really like them winning that matchup against the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. whether they're the 9 or the 8. But I think that it's still safe to say that Jokic will be the MVP. And Chris Paul, you could argue that Devin Booker is their MVP over Chris Paul. It could be argued.
I think Chris Paul's
I think Chris Paul's more important to their team. But Devin Booker's having a phenomenal season. They're the second best team in the West. You need both of them to be that number two seed. I just really was more so interested in what you guys thought about. Can we say that Steph Curry... At what point will we say that Steph Curry is the best point guard we've ever seen? When, outside of Magic Johnson, who
I think it's over.
I think it's already there.
Done. I think it's done. I think look, Chris Paul is amazing, and that Suns team. We know.
Well, you can't really compare the two of them because Steph has two unanimous MVPs. He has a unanimous MVP. He's got two MVPs. He's got
and he's won the title.
And he's right multiple times.
I'm just saying from a pure like, okay, which guy do I want on my team as the point guard? Is Chris Paul a better playmaker?
Curry.
Yeah, but yeah, it's Steph Curry. Look, dude, there is no player out like in baseball. You can change the game with one swing. There's nothing that really happens like that. Golf, like the one swing, the one shot type thing. Steph Curry is that firecracker. He is the barrel of the bat to the ball. He is that. You hear that from that home run every time. He changed the game, like not overall. Look, Chris Paul did that. That Suns team was again good, and it's also a testament of Monty Williams and the organization.
It's not the first time he's done it, where he's come
exactly.
into a roster.
The Thunder, dude. Yeah. This Thunder team is abysmal. I mean, I know Shea's not playing, but like the Suns, would they be a back end playoff team? They'd probably be like where like the Grizzlies are this year. They'd probably be in that range. They're the two seed.
Yeah,
they're the two seed. Like a good, they're like a two seed, and we're all sitting here like, holy heck, talk about best basketball somebody's played. Ayton's playing his best basketball. Devin Booker.
Mikal Bridges is definitely playing
good. Cam Johnson. They're playing good. And you know what? This guy, not only does he know how to like elevate a team, he knows how to unlock every single player. You have a point guard, you have a coach, and you have a player development guy on the court at all times. It's kind of insane. Steph Curry, though, as far as individual player goes, that Warriors team is not good, particularly. They're not great. Without him, they're bottom. They were like they picked two last year without him.
Right. Yeah, I just so many people never put him into that who's the best point guard of all time conversation. Magic is obviously the best point guard of all time, but when you talk about guys that are under 6'6", then the conversation gets really interesting. And I think a lot of times people still kind of lump Steph into that like two category. Like they don't say that he's a point guard in the same way that Oscar Robertson and Chris Paul and Steve Nash and Jason Kidd. And those are the four guys that they are lining up against each other. But I think you have to put him in there because of what he does as far as how he leads his team. And he also does average over 5 assists a game every single year. So I don't see how you can say that he's not a point guard and that he's not the best quote-unquote pure point out there besides
still a great
Magic
playmaker.
Johnson.
He's a good rebounder, too.
He's a really good rebounder.
He's got great
actually.
Positioning on the ball. I mean, this Warriors team is set, especially. What's the deal with this Wolves pick? No one's talking about that. The Wolves have been crappy. We gave the Wolves a little small shout on the show until Nick kicked him to the curb last time. Nick is the Charles Barkley of the show. He cares about winners, baby. Winners, winners, winners. We kicked the Wolves to the curb, but I think the Warriors have the pick from the D'Lo trade. It's top three protected, and it becomes unprotected in 2022. Wolves are winning. What if they fall out of the top three, and then the Warriors get that pick?
Yeah, right now they're the second worst team in the NBA. But they won last night. They've got their guys back. They definitely could go on a little bit of a run here, and obviously the Magic have a terrible roster, and so do the Pistons, so I could see them falling off. When we last talked, the Timberwolves were the worst team, and now they're the second worst team, so they're already starting to win.
Yeah. This Warriors team were like, oh, why'd they take Wiseman over LaMelo, which could be a mistake in the long run, as good as we've seen LaMelo be. But they could end up with the fourth pick. They could move up if they want to. They could stay there. What if Suggs drops to them? And then all of a sudden, it doesn't look so bad.
They can package Wiseman and the fourth pick for someone really good.
Or go up and get Cade.
Yeah.
Or Bradley.
A lot
Hill.
Of different things.
It's crazy in the NBA. Crazy, crazy. But Nick, speaking of crazy in the NBA, or the Love Doctor, you're getting a lot of titles today, buddy, of the Charity Stripe. you've broken down, you know who's dating who in the NBA love circle, you know all the tea, the TMZ, and I'm ready for my mind to be blown and opinions to be had. So please, what's going on with the love lives of NBA players and daughters and sisters and gardeners and,
wow,
and wives?
I feel like I'm on TMZ. Well, let me put this out there. I don't know everyone's dating history, mm-hmm. but I will say that we had a discussion off the air a few days ago that kind of involved dating friends' sisters. And so I looked into it, and talking about a guy like Steph, right? And a guy like Seth, they're brothers.
Yeah.
But Seth is married to Doc Rivers' daughter, who was cheated on by Paul George.
Oh my God.
And Steph and Seth's sister is married to Damian Lee, who is Steph's teammate.
Okay.
So like, it kind of seems like there's just not a lot of boundaries when it comes to dating a significant other of your teammate or guys around the league, right? Paul George was dating his coach's daughter. Like,
who he cheated
that's
on.
Crazy.
Wait,
that's crazy.
Like, was how that, are they going to win a title last year?
Was that recently though?
It was while he was coaching him. Not, I don't know if it was.
Because
not while he was. Maybe not while he was coaching him. But by the time he was coaching him, regardless, the cheating had gone down.
Right. By the time he was coaching him, I think that she was happily married to Seth.
Yes. Which is like,
yeah. But how awkward is that though? Like, regardless, you're playing for her dad now.
I mean, we brought up dating sisters. It's like, what? Like, hypothetical. When I was the one that did pose the question, I'll come clean. I'm like, hey, what's the ruling on friends, you know, dating sisters? And Nick made the joke of like, actually, and then he let loose that he's been dating both of my sisters. My family on the ropes, on the rocks. Things are not good in the Fisher household. But seriously, though, if you were like, let's say you were dating one of my sisters and you did pull a PG-13, I wouldn't be like, yo, let's go record. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, cool. Let's hop in the mic. Like, I don't get how they just stepped on the court the next day. And we were like, all right, here's the set. We're running out of the timeout. Like, what? How are they going to win a title last year? Seriously, right. How are they going to win a title?
Right.
Well, it was a lack of chemistry, right? That's why everything burned to the ground.
He stoops his daughter, then cheated on her.
Yeah.
Then also, I mean, like, that's not the only thing, too. I mean, obviously, you have the whole conspiracy that Delonte West fucked LeBron's mom. There's that one. And then there's also Kendall Jenner's body count that she's gone through the entire NBA. You got Blake Griffin and D'Angelo Russell and Ben Simmons. And people have said Devin Booker as well. So
Devin Booker is the current one. Jordan Clarkson was also rumored to be involved. Who's the most surprising one of the bunch?
Out of the bunch that she's dated?
Yeah.
I don't think any of them are surprising.
You think D'Lo is pulling that weight?
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta consider that when D'Lo, after Kobe retired, D'Lo was kind of the next guy there. He was supposed to be for the Lakers the next big thing.
Dude, yeah, but then he blew it. Do you remember how he blew it? He leaked like info. Speaking of, like, was it Swaggy P?
Right.
The Iggy Azalea thing.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, there was a time before LeBron got there.
Yes.
Before Lonzo had even been drafted.
Yes.
Where D'Lo was, before Ingram had been drafted.
He was supposed to be the guy.
Where D'Lo was the next guy. He was under Kobe Bryant's tutelage. And it turns out that she actually dated, or potentially could be dating, the real kind of guy that got tootled. I don't know. What's the word? mentored by Kobe, which is Devin Booker, obviously, because he had a really close relationship with Kobe.
She's tootling him.
Booker. But when we were talking about it off air, we were talking about her tweet, which is just absolutely epic. Nick, what did she say? In response to people saying, like, someone was like, Kendall Jenner's getting passed around by the team. Someone responded saying maybe she's the one that's passing them around.
I think I have the tweet off my dome. I think it's they act like I don't have control where I throw this cooch around. Is that correct? Did I get that off the dome? My sister, speaking
I
of,
think so. I don't have the tweet up.
My sister,
they act like I'm not in full control of where I throw this cooch.
It's pretty close.
It's an absolutely epic tweet.
Epic tweet, Blake. Have you never seen that pillow?
Josh's sister, my girlfriend, has a
one of
has
allegedly
a allegedly has a pillow of it, has a throw pillow of it in her living room. I think I have a photo with myself holding that pillow. She's got good character. to her. Like, she's that was an unbelievable tweet. And honestly, I think I've seen bits and clips of the Kardashians. Not my cup of tea per se for a full sode, but she's pretty humorous. She's
talk about an NBA dating tree. I mean, you got the Kardashians. Of course, you've got Khloe, who was married to Lamar Odom, right? Courtney was the one who dated, was it Tristan Thompson or was that Khloe who did Tristan?
That was Khloe. And then Kim was married
and then
to
Kylie's friend. And then Kylie's friend,
Jordan Woods.
And then Jordan Woods ended up hooking up with Tristan Thompson. So it's like a whole.
Kim and Chris Humphries.
That was
the that lasted like what,
71 days. Why the fuck do I know this shit? I'm like, I feel like a yenta right now. The thing is with the Chris Humphries and Kim Kardashian thing, when I think about it, is the biggest joke of a relationship I've ever heard in my life. Like, what?
Very ridiculous.
What does she like? The Ray J sex tape was more reasonable to me.
She clearly didn't watch him hoop. Clearly.
I mean, what? Like, when she like she what a regretful move on her part, honestly. But the NBA dating tree, and so, but to kind of go back and piggyback, what the conclusion we came to, we could tell people on the dating sisters front, it was depends who it is.
Depends on what you're saying is it depends on the friend.
Yes.
And the relationship and the established relationship you have with that person.
If it's a close friend who I approve of in that regard, then if it's a friend on the fringes, I'm almost like weirded out by it.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, whatever the outcome or however you get there, like communication is probably pretty key in that scenario.
Yeah, you gotta like it's you don't want it to be thrown around the horn that hey, this has gone down. Be a little awkward taco, I'd say at least
around the horn, like the ESPN show. I don't know if Jackie Mack was the one who told me that's what was happening.
Oh no, well that's
that one of you was dating my sister. Jackie Mack was like, hey, by the way, I'd be like. Jackie Mack, you're a legend. You're a legend.
Any news delivered by a celebrity is awesome.
Yeah. It depends on who the celebrity is.
I think it's debatable.
Depends who the celebrity is, but yeah.
Speaking of celebrities delivering news, big news in the world. George Floyd, the case has been, the decision's been made.
Yeah.
Officer found guilty on 3 charges. Minimum he's going to jail is 40, according to my lawyer father. Who's a decent lawyer? Minimum he's going to jail for is 40 years. That's if they kind of
40?
40. That's like he said. He said it's looking like based on like what you know the sentence structures usually look like. It could be 40 years minimum. That's if you know it's. I think the word is congruent, where it's like you everything is together at once. So there's one sentence that he said it was like minimum 10, one that was max 25, another that was max 40. But you can, you know, the 10 and the 25 could count throughout the 40. Now what they can also do is he serves the 40. Cool. That's done. Now you serve the 25. Cool. That's done. Now you serve the 10. So that could add up.
So he's not getting out.
No, he's in prison for the rest of his life.
Prison for life.
He's in prison for life. It's looking like. We try to stay out of the politics. I think, you know, I think people know where we stand on our own personal pages from what you've seen of us. You know us. We've done on the charity stripe. No one's been shy about it on ESPN. They've reported, you know, they've obviously stood behind George Floyd and stood behind the players who've been very vocal. And it was a very progressive day yesterday. Now, seeing where athletes and celebrities and a lot of major media outlets – sports media outlets stand. Seeing where ESPN stands, seeing where CBS is standing, seeing where all these stations and channels are standing, you're an athlete, you have a platform, you're a big athlete, you have a big platform, you have your podcast, people are tuning in listening. If you don't agree with the decision or the assessment of what happened yesterday or 2 days ago now, you're allowed your opinions. You're allowed your thoughts, and you're allowed your voice. That being said, there's a time and a place to give your opinions, and I think Brett Favre just needs to hang it up. He's digging himself in hole after hole, and he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
What did he say exactly?
What Brett Favre said exactly was that. He didn't see how it was possible, and I'm paraphrasing, he didn't see how it was possible that Derek Chauvin, the officer, intentionally killed George Floyd. He didn't agree with his actions. He doesn't agree with his actions. So he said that, but he doesn't see how it was possible, how it was intentional.
Find it hard to believe, and I'm not defending Derek Chauvin in any way. I find it hard to believe, first of all, that he intentionally meant to kill George Floyd. I just got a pop-up ad, so now I can't see the rest of the quote.
At the end of the day, though,
and then he said,
what does that do for anybody? What does that do for Brett Favre's brand?
Exactly.
What does that do
point.
Is there a point to going out and saying that, or should you just shut your fucking mouth?
Well, here's the
Let me just finish the quote. That being said, his actions were uncalled for. I don't care what color the person is on the street. You do not. I don't know what led to that video that we saw where his knee is on his neck, but the man had thrown in the towel. So, just wanted to provide the full context of the quote.
Right. See, I mean, look, he... Again, like, there's just a way to say things.
I think it's just... There's a tremendous lack of awareness that Brett Favre clearly showed by it doesn't even sound like he did the full research. I mean, the video and everything that's happened over, this is not something that happened overnight. The trial was the next week. This happened
a year ago. Yeah.
You have plenty of time to go research.
I've seen that video multiple times.
Give your own assessment.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's a terrifying video. And for him now on the heels of this verdict to say this just shows to me a lack of awareness.
Yeah.
And just he's not. Yeah.
It's just unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary.
I had a call with.
It makes it about him, too. And this is so much not about even with the verdict.
That's
right. Like holding accountability to this officer. And justice as well. But more so what I've seen from other people, they appreciate the accountability. It's even bigger than George Floyd. That's the whole point of this, right? Is that this isn't the first time this has happened. And so for Brett Favre to kind of minimize this and really just try and kind of defend Derek Chauvin in a roundabout way is just really making it very personal to him and taking away from the real scope of what people are trying to change in the country.
Yeah, I think it's bigger than one individual. It was a principle, a purpose matter. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter necessarily that it was him. He was unfortunately the person that it happened to. But had it happened to anyone, the sentiment and the reaction would have been the same. That's what people are fighting. And then, look, people bring up the guy's past, and you know we can't sit here and justify that. But it's not the point. Doesn't mean someone that you don't deserve doesn't deserve, if something deserved to happen to you, let it be judged in court. Let the court take care of it. Can we trust the judicial system?
That's not the police's job to do that.
No, exactly. It's not their job. Okay, that guy's done bad in the past.
In fact, that's the opposite of their job.
Yeah, the job is to protect and serve. And then no one was in jeopardy. No one's lives were in jeopardy in that situation. And the guy took it to an extreme. That was completely unnecessary, and it sparked a big talk and change in our country. People wanted him held accountable. End of the day, he's held accountable. Brett Favre, at that point, you know where everyone in the sporting world stands. And I'm not, maybe not everybody.
And where the legal system stands.
Where the legal system stands, where the leagues, where the NFL is. The NFL came out and made a statement. The Raiders came out and kind of blew it and made a statement that caused a lot of uproar, but they, at least you know where they stand. You know where everyone stands in this. Maybe not every player agrees, but the ones who don't agree, we're not hearing anything from them because there's a time and a place, and it's just not worth it for your brand unless you want to double down and really be the voice of that section of people. Unless you want to be the Tommy Lahren of the NFL.
Yeah.
What's that guy? Tucker Carlson?
Yeah.
You guys see him?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Brett Favre, I think if you look at the rest of Brett Favre's career, he has never really had that much foresight with how the media will react to the things that he says and does.
The penis pic?
I mean, so much. There's not just one thing, right? Yeah. There was something else last year that he came out and said, and everyone was like, dude, what are you talking about?
It was
about?
Recently, too. I mean, like, he does, like... He's the guy. The
he also like he also re- he retired and then he comes back to his rival's team. He's, I mean, like even that in and of itself.
Just
like,
run the nail in the coffin. He's the guy that goes to the funeral, doesn't like the guy who's died, goes to the grieving, sobbing wife and goes, eh, you know what, though? Realistically, your husband's kind of an asshole. Like, don't say that. Like, yeah, maybe he cheated at chess. You know, maybe he skimmed a few dollars off the top of the business. But now is not the time and the place, Brett. And it was just so uneducated and just there's no foresight. You got to be aware, dude. His awareness in Madden is like 2 right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. Goodness. Goodness gracious.
I'm so sorry, dude. It's like, ugh. Oh, God. A lot of teams that we'll talk a little. Speak. We'll go light on the NFL right now. And then on a higher note, we'll touch upon this, what's going on in Euro soccer because that is also a mess. A lot of trade rumors going down. I want to ask you guys this. Just off your dome, off your heart, off your sleeve. There's teams. The Falcons. The Dolphins at 6, Falcons at 4, Dolphins at 6, Lions at 7, Panthers at 8. Of those four teams, I think, I don't know who, but I think one of those teams is going to trade out of their slot. Who do you guys think is the most likely to?
The Panthers.
You think the Panthers? And just so that they can get more? Is that the...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that they can get more out of that pick. I feel like they're confident enough in Darnold, and they're not going to take a quarterback.
Mm.
So if one of or even two of the five guys that are supposed to be picked are not picked yet, then I think someone's going to come calling Carolina.
I was doing a mini mock, and we're going to do our mock next week.
Yeah.
The way I was breaking it down, though, the three quarterbacks go – then there's no – the next three picks are made unless no one trades for them. No trades are made. Next three picks are made. No quarterbacks. I can't see it happen. I can't see Atlanta taking a quarterback. Not right now. You have Detroit. I'd still be surprised if they don't give Goff the shot. I think that's plausible. I think – looking at the Panthers, unless they love Parsons, unless they love Slater, unless they love Sertan, unless yeah. they want to love one of those three guys, or Waddle goes – falls to them at 8 and they go, we're going to – quadruple down on them. You know, Anderson and Moore and McCaffrey are not enough, and all of a sudden we need a wide receiver. Then I think they're gonna. I think it's a good pick. I think they're. I would agree with you, Nick.
I think they're the most likely to trade out. I think the Dolphins are on the opposite side, and they are the least likely to trade out.
They're staying. You think Dolphins are staying put?
I do because I think that they are looking to cash in on one of those guys, either Pitts or Chase. Who will Sewell. Be, I don't even think Sewell's an, if he, I no, I don't think they're going to pick him.
If he's the third man out.
Well, I think part of my kind of questioning to that has to do with another question that I'll pose for you guys, which yeah. is there are a lot of, because there's so, the amount of information we've received on all these guys is limited in comparison to previous drafts.
Very.
There have also been a lot of bold statements about a lot of the guys that are being drafted in this bold. Class that they can be transcendent talent, multiple year, all pro type players. And I just really want to know which of the guys you actually think are at that level. It's too tough to guess on the quarterbacks. So I don't really...
But I think it's one guy. I think there's one guy that I will hang my hat on.
But there are people saying that Pitts and Chase and Sewell have the ability to be longstanding at their position, best top five in the league at that position.
I think it's plausible. Look, like you the guys like Ronnie Stanley didn't play last year for the Ravens, but he was the 6th overall pick by them. He panned out. Tunsil, you know what, say what you will about that draft all. He's been good. I mean, you know, you hit on an offensive tackle. I mean, that's it, man. You have the guy that is money. There are people that miss. And so while you bring up a point of like we see minimal tape.
I just want to know, like, do you guys really think is Sewell that guy?
I want to say yes. I mean, he's a brick house. He won he was the top offensive lineman as the won the Outland Award as a sophomore. He was a top offensive yeah. lineman, but he didn't play last
year. It's really hard to evaluate offensive linemen in college based off film, in my opinion.
I think it's
because they're not going against professional pass rushers. Yeah. And the same time, like as like a football fan and as a former football player as well, like I also don't really know how to evaluate talent on the offensive line. I know how to evaluate talent from a wide receiver position and a running back and a quarterback because we're used to like actually looking at those guys. But how often are you watching the offensive line when you're watching a football game?
Mm-hmm. Right. Never.
Well, yeah. And then a lot of times these guys have played left or right tackle their entirety of their football career.
Yeah, and they get asked to move to another position. And
to a guard. They go to a guard because you've got a guy who you already have your left tackle. So now you're moving a guy to right guard. And can that guy, is he mobile enough on the inside? I don't know. Like, I just think that, I think of the three of those guys, to me, he's the least, I'm least assured that he's going to be that type of perennial all-pro talent.
What's the toughest position to make the jump at now? Like you're saying, Nick, because it's tough.
I also agree with you, though, that the Dolphins are probably the least likely team to trade out because why would they have traded up for that position to trade just back out? That'd be the third trade. They had the three pick, then they moved back to San Francisco's pick, then they moved up again. So there's no point for them to move up if they're going to trade that back.
Unless they think that they can swing the pick like we talked about last episode for even more draft capital because they know that those three quarterbacks will be taken. But if Atlanta doesn't get one, and Cincinnati obviously won't take one, that someone wants to jump up and get a QB and give up too much, then maybe, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we've seen teams get desperate on draft day. If they want the guy and no one's budging, then somebody's going to get a king's ransom.
Especially if
you never know.
If Trey Lance and Justin Fields are both there.
I don't think the door's closed for anybody ever, but I do think they're also the least likely team in those teams that you mentioned at the top, Josh.
Yeah, I think I agree with both of you.
I think they're very ready on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And I think they need someone to be their offensive anchor to really help Tua. And Gesicki's good and Parker's good when he's healthy. But they need more, right? And one of those guys, Pitts in particular, I think I've kind of changed my mind on this because I really like Gesicki a lot. But what Pitts can mean as far as an offensive anchor for a team, they might go for him.
I think he's pretty much almost a wide receiver.
Right, right.
And I think
saying that he could be the next Julio Jones. That's who the comparison is right now.
Reggie Wayne. Like exactly, like crazy wide receiver comps. And Sewell is like, the thing is, from evaluating him, is are you quick enough, and are you big enough, and are you strong enough? From that standpoint, and Nick, the NFL, you're completely right. It's a different ball game. You're not going against J.J. Watt in college. You're not going against Von Miller in college. And we saw last year of the tackles taken, Wills was solid. We saw Wirfs be an animal, and the one who struggled was Andrew Thomas, and he was the first one taken. So, yes, it is a very tough position to evaluate. Guys flop all the time just because, at the bare minimum, they are not fast enough to keep up with these edge guys who are 6'2 to 6'5, 240 to 260, and are running at this point 4.45s, 4.6s. It is a brutal position in the NFL. And that's why guys have to sometimes kick it to inside guard so they can learn and get used to the speed of the game and get used to these pass rushers, and then they move back outside. That the Buccaneers hitting on Wirfs is like almost unfair, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that I also, it's
a great pick.
Unbelievable.
But the thing with Sewell is the thing with Becton, he was injured a little bit. And when a big man's injured, but it's the same thing across all sports. When a big man's injured, big tree fall hard. But he was so good when he was in, and he is just a behemoth of a person. If you're a defensive lineman, you're fast, yeah. But getting around a guy also on the other flip side of the coin who's 6'7", 6'8", 350, that's no easy feat. And Sewell can move, and he's 6'6". He's a big boy. I think it's worth it.
I think part of the reason why I brought up why you – like if you guys think that those three individuals, Chase, Pitts, and Sewell, are actually the talent that everyone is touting them to be – because I think it's an important consideration for a team like the Dolphins, where there is a lot of offensive line depth in this draft, especially in the later in the first round, in the second round.
They're at 18 too.
And even in the third round. So I think that if there's a team that thinks that one of those teams, the Dolphins or the Bengals or the Falcons, I mean, the Falcons aren't going to take offensive line help, but...
No, they've done it so many times at this point.
But if you think that you can get an offensive lineman who's startable in the second or third round, and you can get that all pro guy who's going to replace Julio Jones. Julio Jones is 33, right? And you got to look for the future at some point. I mean, I don't think he's going to slow down at least for the next 2 years here, but who knows with injuries and whatnot. And just like I said about the Dolphins as well, if you think that Chase and Pitts are that guy who for 10 years you can kind of ride on to be your offensive just productor, then do it. And go that route and wait to pick your offensive lineman.
I think Chase is, there's no question that those two guys are going to be the first two skill players off the board.
Yeah.
I think the first seven, maybe eight players are going to be offensive guys.
Wild.
Yeah.
Maybe nine.
A lot of fun.
Because God forbid the Broncos do something correct.
I mean, who's the first defensive player that's supposed to be taken?
Parsons. It's going to be Parsons. Unless we get to the 10th pick and it's Dallas, and then you're sitting there, or he can go Horn. Horn's picking up some steam. I still think Surtain has it over him, but Horn's picking up steam. Some team is going to take Jalen Phillips, who can be, again, a supreme edge rusher, the best edge rusher out of this class. But, like, the reason that it's – we don't have a lot of tape, yeah, so that's definitely hurt the draft buzz. All it's been is about the quarterbacks because no one is really – I feel from the guys who specialize in it, you guys know I love it. This is my favorite event. I do all my homework, do my research, you know, up to the nines. People are like, don't really know much outside the QBs. Like, they're comfortable talking about the QBs, right? But everyone's like, everyone knows, has really little clue of where everyone else is going to fall or where everyone else's head's at. It's very tough to tell. It's a weird year. You have guys like Waddle and you have Smith. Smith might not be the third receiver taken. He could be he could go from the second receiver taken to like the fourth guy taken. Some guy you want a big body receiver, you're gonna take Smith, or you're gonna take Terrace Marshall Jr. Kadarius Toney out of Florida can go ahead of him. I mean, we can see wild things like that. We could see Tevin Jenkins. You talk about a guy you can get later in the first round from Oklahoma State, the offensive tackle and go to Miami. There's so much that could happen in this draft.
We'll get into it, though.
We'll get it. I'm sorry. I'm geeking. I had to ask that one question just because I'm seeing all these trade rumors. Obviously, Jerry Jones has his finger on the trigger, thumb on the call speed dial to make a wild
move. But moving to basketball.
Yes.
Chet Holmgren committing to Gonzaga.
Yes.
Surprised?
No. Lock.
Not at all.
I mean, it was that he was teammates with Jalen Suggs. I think it's a good move for him because I think he needs to put on a little more weight in his frame. And I think going to the G League, he would have been less dominant than he could be in college basketball and hopefully solidify his status as the number one overall pick. From what I've seen, I'm a big Paolo Banchero fan who's going to Duke. He's the number two guy in the class. I think Jaden Hardy's the number three guy in the class, and I think he's going G League, it looks like. And then Patrick Baldwin Jr. I told this to Toss the other day, may go to Wisconsin, Milwaukee, so not the Badgers, like the Panthers, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, yeah, to play for his dad.
They're like an FCS team, right?
To play for his dad, which would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There's family and there's like, let's make some money here, you know?
Right.
So I think that Chet Holmgren, you asked, is he a lock? I don't know if he's locked to be the number one overall pick. I think it's a good move for him. I think this Gonzaga team, again, could go undefeated, but they do play that Duke team early.
Yeah,
they do. But if they retain Timmy,
yeah, he's gonna stay.
He's staying. And they retain Andrew Nembhard, and the guy that we went and watched will probably be their guard opposite of Nembhard. Josh, when we went Rancho,
he was guy. I liked the Rancho Christian kid.
Yeah,
he was solid.
It was like number 60 recruit in the class.
Oh god, I'm getting
2 years
name.
Ago. So he'll be a sophomore. I can't remember his name.
He was good.
They got another recruit who's also in the top 50, who will be probably like their wing kind of guy. So
they have Watson coming back.
They bring in a fantastic group of talent once again. Can Mark Few do it? I mean, I really think that they're going to come into this season as the favorite to win it all again.
And they have Hunter Sal as the point guard. That's right, from the kid from Nebraska. Yeah, I mean, they got to be the favorite. I'm happy with what Michigan's done in the recruiting trail. I think Kentucky, they've already gotten two major transfers into Shebby and Grady from Davison and then West Virginia, respectfully. And they could get Marcus Carr, the kid from Minnesota. He's the number one transfer still available. They'll be in there from Miller out of Illinois. He's also on their radar. And he's got obviously bigger. He's got a good recruiting class coming in. If Calipari has another bad showing. I know it's Calipari, but I think the chickens have come to roost. I'm serious. It's a hot take.
No, I agree.
But that's how I feel. He's got three guys. Super League? Yeah. Super League. Power to the people. That was all people. The Super League, for those who don't know, basically the 12 of the best teams in European soccer, six teams from the Premier League, a couple teams from La Liga. I think it was Atletico.
I've got the list.
You got the list? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was Chelsea.
Well, let me see if I can do it at the top of my head. Okay. I'm actually curious. Chelsea, Liverpool, Man U, Man City. Is it Tottenham?
Yep.
Are they in there?
They're in there.
There's one more, right?
There's one more out of the Premier League of six.
I'll get to it. But Atletico, Real Madrid, yep. Barcelona, AC Milan.
Yep.
Yep.
Juventus.
Yep.
Yep.
And Inter Milan.
Yep. Yep.
And they're missing one more, right?
You're missing the last Premier League team. You're missing my team, actually, which is,
you know,
what a bummer.
My friend Jonah, who's come on the show, he is
Arsenal, right?
Yeah, he's the biggest.
The Gunners, yeah.
He's the biggest fan of them.
And all of the Premier League teams backed out already.
They're already done.
Because everyone was up in arms. And rightly so. Soccer is the world. It's the world sport, football, for what everyone outside of the United States calls it.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly important for each city. Each city has their own team within all of these different leagues, and it's a really, really big deal for the revenue of the city when Barcelona gets to visit Sevilla, right? Or one of the other teams in Spain. Like, it's a really, really big deal, and to take that away, all of that history, I get it. All the games would be really great, but we already have the Champions League.
They already play. A lot of them end up playing anyway. You have our buddy Killian, Stan Canopy Stop's friend, Killian, who's now become our friend. Killian DM'd the Stripe and was like, this is like if the 12 best teams in college basketball said, we're going to form our own league, not do March Madness. You guys have fun. And we're going to do our own thing. And I was like, that sounds like a really excellent comparison. I'm into that. I really now can really conceptualize that because we're all huge college basketball fans. It's just why? Like, what are you doing? Like, again, like, have the wherewithal. Like, how did you think people were going to react to this?
Right. Well, to be honest, from like the outside perspective, like with my lens, I thought it was exciting. But the way you put it that way, then yeah, it does seem pretty cheap.
Well, think about it this way. If it happens 15 years ago in the MLB, guess who's not in that conference, Nick? Guess who's not there?
I don't know. 15 years ago? Yeah, you're right. Well,
no, you're not there.
15 years ago, we were. No, 15 years ago, we were a playoff team.
But there's like other teams that are good that are still not.
All right. Well, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Not this year. Obviously, you guys are clearly in the 12, but there have been years in the last 20 where you would not be considered in the top 12.
And it's a thing. And it's a baseball.
Same thing
comparison.
With me.
Could be this year, too, because they fucking suck right now. They got swept by the Brewers. So
yeah, they're y'all lost today.
Right. And it just pulls away that opportunity. I think it's fun to kind of crossboard it and just think about it, right? Because
yeah.
We talk about it a lot, especially about the NBA, right? Where it's like these mid-market teams, we want to see them flourish. We want to see them compete for a championship.
And at least there's a draft.
It's cool for Milwaukee to be in there. Now they have Giannis. Now they're there every year. Well, not all the way there, but they're close.
I honestly like the perspective of getting excited about European soccer. It's just so hard to follow because like, I don't know any of the players besides the superstars, right?
Yeah.
I don't really know, like, the teams, you know, in the lower league that were relegated, all that good stuff. I don't even know the geography of some of these teams besides that the UK, some are in Spain. Like, it's wild. But
yeah,
I would love to get on board. So your favorite team's Arsenal?
Yeah, I like – well, in the Premier League, yeah. I like the Gunners.
Why is that?
Well, I was a big Thierry Henry fan when we were growing up. He was an excellent goal scorer, and – yeah, that was the team I played with in FIFA for a long time too.
Josh, your favorite team is who for the Premier League?
I root for the Hotspurs.
Tottenham?
Yeah.
Because he likes teams with not very long legacies that have never won the Premier League.
I like Harry Kane and Hwang Min.
And I'm a Man City fan.
Let's go. I similarly when we played so much FIFA during the World Cup when we lived at Sweetser, when Toss and I lived in a different part of Los Angeles. that I usually played with the Hotspurs. I love playing with them.
Nice.
What, so, Nick, why do you like Man? Do you have a Man City jersey? I feel like you do.
I do. Yeah, I do. I remember playing FIFA and I was like, ooh, these jerseys are
Yeah,
swag.
You like the light blue, don't you? Blue. Yeah.
Blue. Yeah, they're powder blue like the Chargers. And I also, that's my favorite color in general. And then I looked at their team and I was like, this team is pretty swag. And so I got a jersey and I started, I like have their updates whenever they play games on ESPN app. Like it lets me know when they win or lose. But
yeah,
I have the same thing with Tottenham.
No, Man City. I would have
totally took you for a Chelsea fan for some reason.
Chelsea's fine. I liked him a lot when they had Didier Drogba, but he was one of my favorite players.
Dude, yes.
He's great.
That was awesome. He was fun
of the one of the best strikers ever to do it.
He was fun to play with.
Ever
in FIFA
to lace
too.
Up the cleats.
When I would play with World Cup.
Is FIFA a top three game?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm not good at it.
I think it just
so
depends.
Fun.
A lot of people don't even put sports games in their considerations, which is crazy.
For sports fans.
Sports games?
What does it go? Sports games, what's the rankings? Is Madden 1?
No. No way.
No? Is 2K 1?
I think FIFA might be 1.
I think FIFA, if I'm like, do I care about winning? Not really. So if I'm playing to play for fun, my favorite games to play are FIFA, Chell, even though I don't really know much about either sport, and then maybe 2K.
I think it's different because it's coming back, but NCAA college football was up there for me.
God,
that always was higher than Madden for me.
Always.
And baseball games are too inconsistent.
I also think that it comes down to like the other game modes that you can do. Like when you're building a dynasty in college football, you go through the whole recruiting process.
Amazing.
You
know,
build up a program, like you can be, a my player where you're building your own legacy and try to win the Heisman. Like those are fun. There's a story behind them, right?
Yeah.
With Madden, it's just like, okay, I'm just going to play against one person, or I'm going to do like a season or do free agency.
Once the guys are out, they're out. Once like the college players are out, it's like, but they were never really
I will say I think FIFA is the best party game. Like when you're with your friends, that's like the best game to run it with.
It's the easiest game to play like online against people. Just 1v1. It's a very simple game, right? You're just trying to get the ball in the goal. Like,
and it has, and in my opinion, it has the best ultimate team.
Okay, you're into that.
I'm not play ultimate team.
I've never really dabbled in that. The thing with FIFA, like, it is a party game. You can rotate. You can run it. You can 5 minute game. You run multiples.
I also think it's.
You can do twos.
Unlike any other game, you can play in FIFA. You can do this in other games, but it's not as fun because it's not something that we cherish as sports fans. The World Cup is amazing, and you get to play as an international team, or you can pick, you know, your favorite club team too. That's always great.
That is great. I will say, I love playing with the old time.
It also has a really low key. It also low key has a really good soundtrack as well. They always do a good job of finding like hidden gems I've never even heard of.
Two former Charity Stripe guests have been featured on FIFA.
Joywave
and Thutmose. There you go. Thutmose, there's your fun fact for the day.
Thutmose the OG. And the fun fact. We'll end on that fun fact with a shout out to Thut. Wow. Missed that guy. Still have his lighter somewhere in this concert. Fans out there, drag both feet.
I light my candle with it in my room.
Really?
All the
Nick,
time.
Nick had it the other day at his house. Drag both feet and bounce, swing on a full counter, rip that puck at that
putt.
Wait.
Hold on. When you're hitting putts.
Oh, please. Yeah, I forgot.
It's really, really important that you hit putts. That's
okay.
It. That's
cool.
All.
You hit putts. Good
and
to
that our show is presented by BetOnline.
.ag. Drag both feet and bounce, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that
Wait,
puck.
Actually, hold on. Let me stop you.
I have to do it from the top. I can't I try to go into the middle.
Well, I was talking about hitting that putt, and I was gonna cut myself off, but I was being not very smart because it's really smart to actually wear shades when you're playing in direct sunlight, and if you're going to play with shades on, you're gonna play a round of 18 with shades on. You got to use Canon sunglasses because they're made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity, and with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, and stronger. Did I mention they're also made with Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch? Ooh. Now I did. Use the exclusive code CanonCast15 at Canon.com to receive 15% off on your first pair. That's Canon, KAENONCAST 15. At Canon.com to receive 15% off. Canon.
And for you Brits out there, it's Canon.
Canon.
Waving flag, another World Cup song. Way to go, Nick. Way to bring it all back together.
and hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We out ya. We love you so damn much.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound Box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game. Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.